And hello, guys. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Jose, and I'm grateful to be here with you guys for today. So before we get started, we do our usual announcements like we always do. So, you know, you guys should know this by now if you've been following us for a while. So first and foremost, if you're not following us on our Facebook page, go look up Wild About Animals on Facebook.com. Be a part of the Wild family. It's a great way to stay connected and be up to date on everything. Our Twitter is now up. So if you also go on Twitter and look up there as well, it's also another great way to stay connected and be a part of the Wild family. The merch store is still in the works. We're still working on that. I do apologize about the wait, guys. We will have, you know, some great merchandise for you to purchase. You can share, you know, share it around, post pictures, and I can't wait to see how you guys love it all. The schedule is late, but it will be up today. I'm just going to tell you guys right now, if you saw the title or the image on the video on the show, then you'll know what we'll be talking about today. But we will have the schedule up for the rest of this month. There is a theme behind this month. We decided to choose animals that are kind of associated with Halloween or some way, shape, or form associated with Halloween in a way. So we're trying to make this, you know, this month and Wild About Animals a very spooky time because, you know, there's a lot of animals who do have a big relation with Halloween. We're not going to dive into that wholeheartedly. We're still going to do our normal show like we do. But I am going to tell you guys, you know, when we do one, like the comparison or the relation that it has to the actual holiday, Halloween. I do believe, though, that is all of our announcements. So I hope you guys are ready because today we're going to be talking about gray wolves. So I hope you guys are ready to get wild and we'll be back right after this break and I'll see you guys then. Hey guys, this is Jose from Wild About Animals. I just want to throw this in and be like, if you guys have any requests for any future podcasts, make sure you leave them on Facebook and then I'll make sure I put them on a list and I'll let you guys go over there. Back to the show we go. And guys, we're back. I hope you guys are ready to get started because I'm ready to share all this wonderful information about gray wolves with you guys. So like we said before in the announcements, you know, a lot of the themes that we're choosing for this month are animals who are associated with Halloween in some way, shape, or form. And I'm talking about gray wolves today. And we're going to start it off by saying exactly how wolves are related to Halloween. Now, I'm pretty sure you guys have seen and heard many scary movies. Usually, if they're in a wood setting somewhere, you'll hear, there'll be a full moon, and you'll hear, you know, a wolf howling in the background, and usually that's when things are about to get started in the movie. But if also not by that, you probably also have heard of werewolves, where a person will turn into a wolf-human hybrid. Funny enough, the idea of a person turning into a wolf actually started in ancient Greece. So if you guys did want to look into that, because it was inspired by the belief that wearing a wolf pelt would cause you to change into that animal. And I'm pretty sure as centuries went on and the idea spread and people started to come up with new stuff to explain it, you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, the idea of a person turning into an animal morphed into what we know now today as a werewolf. But if you guys definitely want to look into that, you're more than welcome to go look up the stories behind it. It's a good read. I highly recommend it. But now we're going to jump into gray wolves as what we know today. Now, gray wolves are the largest wild member of the dog family. The males are usually larger than the females and they come in variety of colors. They could be brown, they could be black, white, gray, you know, you name it, you know, they have a variety of colors for the wolves. But like I said before, they are the largest wild member of the dog family, and they're also a member of the dog family as well, which includes them, jackals, coyotes, foxes, and also your local dogs that, you know, that you have living in your household. Now, for centuries, wolves and humans have had a very complicated relationship. Majority of that has come from what I feel is misunderstanding on our part, not the wolves' part. Because in most fictions and, like we said, in movies and stories and stuff, wolves have been painted as the enemy, these aggressive creatures, which is not the case at all because, funny enough, you know, Wolves were at one point in time in centuries ancient history, were domesticated by early humans. Well, and pretty much those wolves that early humans domesticated turned into our dogs that we have today. So humans and wolves have had a relationship before. It's just what happened after that whole, domestication was over and some became your normal dogs and the other ones stayed wolves. No one, who knows? But you also have to think about it. It's funny because it's like we took the time to domesticate these animals and now we have their descendants as pets. And now we treat the wild descendants as if they're pests. Just giving you something to think about. But I do think that, we should be very more considerate and actually take the time to learn about wolves because if ancient humans didn't take the time to domesticate these animals, you wouldn't have your dog today. They would still be running around out here as wild wolves in the wind. Now, the wolf, or the actual word gray wolf, is Canis lupus. That's Latin. I believe that means wolf dog, if I'm not mistaken. And gray wolves are the most widespread and more from the most familiar wolf species in existence. Gray wolves are probably the staple when it comes to wolves. I'm pretty sure you've seen like several different pictures of them. But gray wolves are probably the most wide rangeland animal in America. But their population has dwindled as time went on. And centuries ago, they used to be widespread across Americas. You could find them just about in every state in America. But now they're kind of pushed back into parts of Canada and certain select states in America. So their numbers are dwindled. A big reason of that was, in the 1920s. Farmers used to fear that, wolves would attack their livestock. So to prevent this, they started to kill them all pretty much. And, that was a, I guess, their answer to fix that, because again, funny enough, with when it comes to wolves, and this is going back to what I stated before, it's like, misunderstanding. It's actually been proven, that wolves are actually terrified of people. There's not that many listed wolves attacks because most of the times if wolves see us, they usually run away or don't even want to bother with us. But because people don't take the time to actually look into wolves and actually learn more about them, then you wouldn't know this. I mean, this is why, Wild About Animals is here to teach you guys. But at the same time, it's like, kind of diving back into what we stated before, it's like, with wolves. Ancient wolves being domesticated and now turn into our normal day, everyday dogs. Now it's like you would think we would remember that knowledge, but so a lot of people don't know that. But obviously, with wolves being part of the canine family, they are carnivores. They primarily eat meat. They eat large deer, elk, moose, buffalo, caribou, bison, musk ox, but they'll also dive into some rodents. They'll eat some rabbits. Beavers, fish, and birds, whatever, but like primarily they eat large hoofed animals as well. And just like we stated in a lot of our large apex predator shows, wolves play a very vital role in their ecosystem because predators, and wolves especially, wolves keep the population of herbivores down, which could be a very big problem. If the population of herbivores gets too massive, to give you an example, in Yellowstone Park, when I think it was the 1930s or 20s, one of the two, when, like I said it before, when they were the elk population had no predators to worry about. So pretty much the elks were free to roam around and do whatever they wanted to do. And so you're probably thinking in your head, well, what's so bad about a elk population getting out of control? I can tell you what's wrong with it. The problem with that is with the elks just being able to run free and their numbers increasing and not having any predators to control their numbers, the elk started eating all of the plant life in Yellowstone Park. What does that mean? The other herbivores couldn't compete. It destroyed the land, erosion happened, and pretty much, Yellowstone Park was in danger. But thankfully, when they reintroduced wolves back into Yellowstone Park, they not only took care of the elk population, they basically made it flat line and made it stable enough to where the ecosystem could recover and come back. The plant life came back. All the animals who, you know, were dependent on these plants could, you know, start regrowing their numbers as well. And that just shows the magnitude and the importance that it is to keep the ecosystem food chain intact, because every organism plays a vital role in that food chain. I've said it once and I'll say it again. It's very important that, you know, you take the time to learn the importance of maintaining that food chain. Now, I'm pretty sure when we get into some of these facts about the wolves, you guys probably know all this, you know, but we're going to dive into some of these a little deeper. Now, when it comes to gray wolves, as you guys know, you've heard of wolf packs. Gray wolves are, and wolves in general, are very social animals. In fact, you know, the majority of the time, you'll see them more in packs than solo. A wolf can survive by itself, but it has a better chance of surviving if it's living in a pack. Now, when we're going to dissect the pack a little bit, most of the time, I'm pretty sure you guys have heard the term alpha wolf. Pretty much people assume that the wolf pack is run by an alpha male, the alpha female, and pretty much everyone is beneath them. The male had to fight his way to the top, and he claimed a female, and they pretty much rule this pack, is pretty much how the media tells you how it's done. But actually, with recent years have gone by, scientists have been actually trying to discard that title of alpha wolf, because in reality, most wolf packs, the two most dominant wolves are mom and dad, and the rest of the pack are usually related to mom and dad or their children. So most of the time, most packs that you guys are seeing are just families led by mom and dad, followed by maybe aunts and uncles, and then the children, you know. So when I found that out, because again, like I said, I was taught, you know, the wolves were led by an alpha male, alpha female, and there was a hierarchy system. And it would follow, like, you know, the Greek alphabet. There'd be the alphas, the betas, the gammas, and all that other stuff, you know, and that's what we're taught. But with recent studies have shown, you know, that majority of wolf packs are just intertwined families. Basically a mom and dad with their kids, and maybe one of the kids decides to go off and start their own pack. That's usually how most wolf packs get started, you know. So think about that the next time when someone's like, hey, you know, this is an alpha wolf. It's like, no, that's probably just the male and the female who are the mother and the father of the entire pack. And they're just following, you know. So, but with these, also with these guys being so social, wolves mate for life. And it gets to the point where it's like their bond is so strong that if one wolf dies out of that mating pair, the other one will stop eating, stop drinking, and usually follows behind it. That's how strong-knit their bonds are. Wolves actually show a lot of emotion and lots of, you know, social behaviors. It's very similar to a lot of behaviors like your own dog would show you. Like, you know, with the whole ears down, tail between the legs, you know, the growling and all of that other stuff, you know, it's very similar behaviors. I mean, but then again, you know, dogs and wolves are actually closely related anyway, so it makes sense that a lot of social behaviors between the two are pretty similar. Now, when it comes to wolves howling at the moon, and this is something that people just believed, but funny enough, wolves don't howl to just howl at the moon. In fact, they don't even howl because the moon's out at all. They'll do it if the moon's out or not. What they howl for is to communicate not only with their own pack, but other rival packs as well. Basically, it's like a communication system to say, hey, I'm here. This is our territory. You guys need to make sure that you do not enter. Or if it's to find a lost pack member or to say I'm injured, it's basically just a way to communicate. And it's on a pretty far range, maybe like 10 miles, and then most wolves can hear it. But like I stated before, you know, these wolves aren't doing this to howl at the moon. They don't care about the moon. So before you say, you know, wolves howl at the moon, it just comes off like that because they, again, the media has shown you that wolves howl and it's a full moon. The moon has nothing to do with this behavior. They just happen to howl and the moon's out. Now, with everything that we just all said, you're probably wondering, well, even though the wolves are in a more restricted area than their past, are they endangered? Well, actually, majority of wolf species are endangered. There's multiples. Gray wolves are included in that as well. But the question is, what do you feel that you can do to help the gray wolf? Well, a good way to be able to help is look online and see if you can find any organization like a sanctuary that keeps wolves and donate if you can, volunteer if you can, because it's a great way to help people out there who are trying to help these species. Because again, like I stated before, wolves are a very important factor in the ecosystem. If you can't donate or if you can't volunteer, at least take the time to do your own research. Take the time, read books, watch documentaries, research about what it is about these animals that is so significant and so important. Because like I tell you guys all the time, every little thing that you can do can make a difference in an animal's life. You just have to find what works best for you. Because our mission, our goal here is to clear the misconceptions about animals and show everybody how important they are. And gray wolves are no different than any other animal we talked about. Well, guys, I do hope you guys did enjoy the show today. I actually had a lot of fun researching wolves. It was very interesting. And I already know a special brother of mine is going to definitely love these because he loves wolves. He doesn't know I did this, but now he does now. But I do hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. I hope you all are well, and I will see you guys next week. And remember, stay wild out there, guys, and I will see you later.